ethical dilemmas. Really, really difficult to know how to handle certain situations and how to proceed. The example I'd probably give, some years ago we were making a film about a girl who said that she'd been raped. It was for ITV West's West Eye View programme. The dilemma was, do we tell the story but not reveal her identity, because that's the legal position, that a rape victim would be always entitled to strict anonymity. And I suppose the dilemma was, do we see if she's prepared to waive her right to anonymity because we could then more easily tell the story, or do we keep it strictly anecdotal and not reveal her name? In the end, the particular contributor did agree to be filmed without any problem on us revealing her name. And as a result, it meant that we could then access certain situations, get certain information that would otherwise have been much more difficult. As a result of knowing the victim's name, it also meant that we were able to get in contact with other contributors that had been attacked by the same defendant, and the overall film was very compelling. When it came to the court case, interestingly, the defendant's mother-in-law attacked our cameraman with her handbag, and it might have been briefly one of those situations where, well, we can't show that, but of course we did, and actually it was a compelling and quite telling part of the kind of situation and story that we were facing, and the sort of family that were involved in this. I think sometimes, yeah, it's quite difficult to weigh up whether or not you should press for access to reveal certain things that would normally not be the case. And I think in that situation, the trust, the bond that had been built up between myself as the producer-director and the researcher and the main contributor were really, really important, that she felt comfortable with revealing her identity because she trusted us. And I hope and I believe that the resulting programme was such that her decision to reveal who she was justified. We named her and we showed her talking to camera. The film was called A Very Fortunate Man, and it concerned the story of Dawn Collins. The reason why it became a major story and the reason why we thought this was wrong is that because of Dawn's mental health history, the Crown Prosecution Service felt that she would not make a credible witness. A young woman who said that she'd been raped, and it seemed a reasoned claim that would stand up in court. Because she had a mental health history, she was a paranoid schizophrenic, the Crown Prosecution Service decided that she would not make a reliable witness based on the written report from an expert who never even met Dawn, but who nonetheless was able to say that because of Dawn's mental psychiatric history, she was unlikely to make a reliable witness. The CPS at that point threw out Dawn's claims, and it was down to another case that finally did come to court some 18 months, 2 years later, involving another woman, in this case a woman who had been sexually assaulted but rape was never proven. It was that resulted in the defendant going to court. Because the law decided that she wasn't a reliable witness, he got away with rape. We said that he was a rapist. You can't say that to someone who hasn't been convicted unless you're pretty damn sure that he was guilty of rape. And our argument was that we were claiming that according to this woman, he had raped Dawn Collins. The fact that having got away with raping her, he was then able to attack other young women, including a 12-year-old girl, made us feel that it would be safe to report some of the other things that he had done. Incredibly, the man was given a 2-year suspended prison sentence because the evidence was, in fact, I'm just trying to ascertain from memory why he didn't get a custodial sentence. He was given a very good character reference by the mother of the teenage girl who had become his wife, who then became the mother of his child at about the age of 16, so I'll leave you to do the math on that. And the judge gave the immortal summing up that he was a very fortunate man, which he indeed was, that he had been prosecuted, but he had escaped a jail sentence for a series of sex attacks on young women. Very interestingly, the film was done and prepared just after the verdict, but such was the explosive nature of the programme that the defendant's lawyers tried to have the film pulled. They tried to have an injunction to stop ITV from broadcasting it, and I'm pleased to say that ITV's lawyers were able to get a judge to defend our stance, our view that the film should go ahead, and the film went out, and it was reported as such. We named the defendant, and it went out.